Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 18, Moksha Sannyasa Yoga. We have seen the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. The last verse we had discussed is said, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tva Sarva Papebhyah Moksha Ishyami Ma Sucha. That's the conclusion. That's the essence of the entire Bhagavad Gita. As we have discussed last time, that Upanishads and Vedas are condensed in the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and 701 verses. The 701 verses, out of which the first 17 chapters gave us the knowledge, in the 18th chapter, in the first 62 verses, has concluded what we have learned in those first 17 chapters. And those two verses, 65 and 66, concluded what you discussed in the entire chapter 18. And it basically says, Manmana bhava mad bhaktaha madhyaji mam namaskaro. Make these four adjustments in your life. Continue doing what you are doing, but make these four adjustments. Manmana, your mind should be focused on me. When Bhagavan Krishna says me, he knows referring to Devaki's son Krishna. But this supreme self I, the supreme I which pervades everywhere. As we had been taking this analogy of the room space and the conditioning of the room space, so I had this practical demonstration to you, how this room space, which was large space, now transformed into a small space. Space is still there exactly as it was before. All we have done is created this conditioning called a wall. So now my mind perceives this is a small space. Space remaining the same is now conditioned by a new wall. So now we have a small space. The same way Bhagavan said that your supreme self, which is all-pervading and unlimited, never gets tainted, but gets tainted by your identification with your limited self, this mind. Right now I'm identified with my mind, and whatever my emotions are, that's what I am. I'm a happy person today, I'm upset today, I'm a little disorganized today. It's all about identification with my mind. So Bhagavan said, give up that identification, have your mind focused onto that supreme mind, the supreme self. So, manmana, bhava mad bhaktaha, become devoted to me. Right now, I'm devoted to my mind, intellect, and body. Constantly making sure I'm healthy enough, I'm fit enough, I'm sharp enough. He said, no, become mad bhaktaha, devoted to the supreme self, that which is your real self. Madhyaji, offer everything to me, sacrifice to me. And namaskuruhu, take refuge in me, bow down to me. I'm taking refuge in me as the limited being right now. Hamare haathon ke bal se hum jeetenge. Or I am so smart with my intellect, I'll take over this. That's relying on my limited ego. And that limited ego has its own limitations. So no matter how many times I win, there is a failure ahead of me. And that failure can break me. So instead of doing that, say, identify with the Supreme Self. So these four adjustments, keep your mind focused on Him, keep your devotion to Him, identification with Him, do everything for Him, all the sacrifices, everything I do is a sacrifice, the offering to this world, my actions, offer to Him, and namaskaruhu, bow down to Him. Offer your humility to Him, that I is the limited being, is nothing without you, the Supreme Being. Then he says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Saranam Vraja. give up all the dharmas and take refuge in me. And last time, as we discussed, your definition of this verse or understanding of this verse depends on the definition of dharma. Dharma typically will say religion. In fact, Meena has forwarded, those of you who get email, a message from Tulsi Gabbard, or a congresswoman from Hawaii. It's a beautiful message. It was a message on Gita Jayanti Day. She's the only Hindu congresswoman we have. And I don't think she's from India. She's not an Indian Hindu. But she's a beautiful message. And she actually quotes a couple of verses from the second chapter. Then she also quotes the last two verses which we are discussing. But then you read the definition of dharma there on the translation. Give up all religions and take refuge in me. Now that can confuse people. Give up all religions, all my Christian friends, and say, give up your Christianity, come to Krishna, all Muslims, give up your Muslim. Then we will be the same fanatics as we think other people are. The dharma, as we have seen, is the essential nature of a being or a thing. And therefore, Bhagavan said, give up dharmas of all that you are identifying with as you are. I'm identifying with me as my body. I'm identifying with me as my mind. And I'm identifying with me as my intellect. Give up dharmas of all these three. That way you will give up your ego. And once you give up all that, mamekam sharanam vraja, take refuge in me. You are hanging on to your supreme self, your all-pervasiveness, your immutable self. And then Bhagavan said, therefore, I will take care of you. I'll take care of all your sins, all the negative impressions you have in your mind right now, I'll wipe them out clean. Because now you've taken refuge in me. Having heard this message, then the next three verses are actually the post-discourse commentary. And a post-discourse commentary is always what now you should do and not do. So the first thing it says is, idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha asusrusve vachyam nachamam yo abhisuyadi. So now I say, now what you should not do. We have learned so far what we should do. In fact, the entire Bhagavad Gita is about what you should do. It never says what you should not do. But here is a little hint of what you should not do. He said, idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha asusrusave vachyam na cha mam yo abhyasuyati. This knowledge should not be given to. This is a pretty confusing verse because you say, well, what is happening now here? But it says, this knowledge should not be given to the one who have no tapas, who has no austerity. Na bhaktaya, who has no devotion. Na cha asusrusave, one who does not render any service. And also to one who has no desire to learn. And one who cavils at me. So it almost looks like this knowledge is some kind of a very elite group's property that we should keep it within ourselves and don't give it to other people. And for a long period of time, most of our pandits and Brahmins did exactly that. Gayatri Mantra cannot be heard by women, so you should not chant it loudly. This verse is not about excluding people. This verse is about preparing people. So if we understand it correctly, last time somebody said, but we are all self-appointed Gita students. You know, we all came by ourselves. Nobody came to us and said, thou shall come to this class. But you decided to come. I decided to come. So do we really qualify for this? And that's your test. So this is to prepare people. When I went to my music teacher and said, I want to learn music. I was already 40-something years old. And I said, I already know singing because I've done so much singing all over. And I even recorded an album. First thing he said is, you have to prepare yourself for music. How many hours in a day you're going to practice your music? Well, I don't know, maybe once a week sometime. So I asked him, how long should I do the riyaz? He said, I don't know about you, but I do 6 hours a day. You decide yourself, you really want to learn music, how much time you need to spend. So I decided, I'm not a right student. I will not have time. I did the same thing with golf. I had designed a golf course in Northern Virginia, and it was a Robert Trent Jones designed golf course. And I was the architect for the project, and everybody has told me that if you want to win a business, you need to play golf. You can't be in a business without playing golf. Now, obviously, I'm a guy who doesn't play anything. So I went to the pro who was hired by them and said, you know, you need to teach me some golf because I think sooner or later I'll be in my own business. He said, okay, Neil, you just tell me how many times in a week you will play golf. And I said, I do so many things. Over the weekend, I teach Bhagavad Gita, and then during the week, I'm an architect. I'll find some time, at least once a month or so. And he said, don't waste your time. You will never learn golf. So I decided I'll be in business without learning golf. Because I found myself to be unfit student both times. I couldn't learn music, so I can't be a radio singer or, you know, record albums. Neither can I be a great golfer. Does that mean that they excluded me? No, I excluded myself. I came to the conclusion that golf pro decided I'm not a right student to teach golf because I don't have the prerequisites. First of all, I don't have a burning desire to learn. I just want a convenience so that I can be okay in my business. So Bhagavan says, yes, the people who are not ready yet, this knowledge should not be given to them. Because not only you will be frustrating them, you will frustrate yourself. Because teaching is always twice learning. Teaching is for you as a person to reaffirm your own ideas and ideals. Now, if I come across a student who confuses me, I may start to be shaky in my own knowledge. So Bhagavan says, idam te na tapaskaya, one who does not have any discipline. Austerity, we say tapas, basically discipline. Who does not have any control over his mind and a body. In other words, who indulges into either the bodily pleasures or mental pleasures. He obviously cannot be focusing on any higher learning. So na tapaskaya, one who has no discipline, this is not for him. Even to learn any game, you have to have discipline. Na bhaktaya, who does not have any bhakti, no devotion for this ideal, who does not have a burning desire to learn. If I am devoted to this ideal, if I am devoted to music, and then I say I'm willing to do whatever to learn this, then I'm a bhakta. But I say conveniently, whenever I have time, I'll do some little practice here and there. You're not a musician. So na bhakta, who does not have any bhakti for this ideal. Nacha asustrusave, one who does not have any sense of service. Service in a sense, one who is so self-centered that cannot think of anything for others. This knowledge is for self-development. And the main foundation of this is selfless activities. The only key given to us in Bhagavad Gita to purify your mind and intellect is to do karma yoga. Act without any expectation for the greater good. So unless you have that, this knowledge is not going to be of any benefit to you. So therefore, the one who has no sense of service, this is not for them. You know, one who is abhyasuyati, who cavils at me, one who always have a negative idea about this, You cannot teach me something which I have no faith. In fact, I hate that idea. I will not be able to learn that. People have tried to teach me football game forever. When I came to this country, I was in Dallas, Texas. In Dallas in those days, I'm talking about 80s, was big on this Cowboys games. All my friends, all our social circle, all our friends were big into Cowboys. So now all our social parties are around the football game. So they tried very hard to indoctrinate me into football games so that I can enjoy with them. Well, I was successful in distracting them from football game, but they could not teach me because I had no love for that game whatsoever. I thought, what kind of a crazy game is this? People are bumping into each other. So there's no way that they could teach me. Only time I could take advantage was I had a project in Philadelphia and I had to get some zoning interpretation, get the most amount of FAR, means what I can build in the tower. The zoning officer was very much into football. In those days, the rivalry between Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles. So every time I go there, first I sit down, he says, so, because he knows I come from Dallas, he'll start talking about football. And I'm completely at loss. So what I figured out, that only way to overcome is, when I go back to Dallas, and when our next meeting next month, I take a lesson from my friend. He said, tell me what has happened in last month or so. And then, as soon as I enter this guy's room and say, Fred, let me tell you this about Cowboys. And he thinks I'm a genius. And then he starts the rest of the time just telling me, I'm just listening to him. But now we have established a relationship. So finally I could get out of him what I wanted to get out of him by just learning the game enough to tell him that I know about it. But I have no interest. How can I be learning football games? Bhagavan says, those people, do not waste your time. In fact, if you think you are a Gita student, find out whether you have the capabilities to learn this Bhagavad Gita. So this is not an exclusion of who should not learn, but including, prepare them to come to this knowledge. The next verse says, Ya imam paramam guhyam madbhaktesu abhidhasyati bhaktim mai param krutva Mame Veshyati Asansayaha. Now, in contrast to that, Bhagavan says that he who with supreme devotion to me will teach this supreme secret to my devotees shall doubtless come to me. These two verses are actually glorifying the teacher or encouraging the teacher. One who teaches this knowledge with supreme devotion to my devotees. So all throughout the Bhagavad Gita, we have learned about the importance of satsang, importance of strengthening each other's faith in this. This is how we come together. We can all be learning Bhagavad Gita at our home. But we thought this is a good format so we can support each other in our own faith. So Bhagavan said, one who does that will no doubt will come to me. In other words, he will no doubt will achieve his goal of achieving that oneness with the Supreme Self. And Swamiji says there is a huge confusion in our culture because Hinduism does not propagate conversion. We don't want the forced conversion. Not even that willingly somebody wants to become Hindu. There is no provision in our religion. In fact, Dad started coming to a class because he heard my lecture at university. Then he got so focused into it, he came to me one day and said, Neil, I want to become a Hindu. What should I do? I said, you don't do anything. Just be one and you are a Hindu. He said, there is nothing I have to do. No. If you think that this is right and this knowledge is helping you, you are a Hindu. I believe in this knowledge, therefore I'm a Hindu. You believe in it, you will be Hindu. And he quoted that all his life. So there is nothing Bhagavan said here is more important than share this knowledge. In our culture, we want this knowledge to be as widespread and have everyone to have this benefit as possible without putting any burden or force on them. Not compelling them to learn, but make it available for them. So then most people can take advantage of this wisdom. So Bhagavan therefore says, the one who has supreme devotion, this is an encouragement to all of us who have this good fortune to learn Bhagavad Gita from masters. Now that we have learned, we can't just keep it to ourselves. We have an obligation to share this with others. Just as anything else, if I am given this good fortune, I should share it with others who are deserving for this knowledge. So Bhagavan said, such a person will doubtless will come to me. This teaching over and over again will reaffirm my ideas about my ideals. The music teacher who teaches music, he becomes best at it because he's continuously teaching it. But once in a while I learned it and then don't practice it, it will go away. So therefore Bhagavan says, such a person is very dear to me. Nacha tasmat manushyeshu kaschin me priyakrittamaha bhavita nacha me tasmat anyaha priyataro bhavi. It does look like he is really, really encouraging people to become Bhagavad Gita teachers. So he said, nor is there any among men who does dearer service to me, nor shall there be another one on earth dearer to me than him. It's a great glory to the teacher, saying, one who teaches Bhagavad Gita is dearer to me, he is dearest to me, there is no other more dear to me than him. Bhagavan, there are so many Bhagavad Gita, which one of is very dearest to you? Bhagavan said, this is for you. The more you teach yourself this Bhagavad Gita, the closer you will become to me. As Swamiji gives a good example in this commentary and said, he talked to one sage in the Himalayas while he was going out and teaching Bhagavad Gita in the early part of his mission. And he said, well, I'm very encouraged by that I'm spreading this knowledge among the young people. And young people are getting interested. And the other Swamiji said, Chinmay, you should stop doing this now. You can come and stay in Himalaya. Swami said, why are you discouraging me? He said, I'm not discouraging you, but it seems like you may develop ego that I am teaching Bhagavad Gita and therefore other people are benefiting. So what is happening? As Meena says all the time, your classes may help others, but it never helped you. He said, I'm so selfless that even my knowledge, I don't use it, I just give it to other people. That's because if I start developing the ego that I am the Bhagavad Gita teacher, other people benefit, I'm actually going down rather than going up. So Swami said, the Rishi told him, you should teach to yourself. So when you are teaching Bhagavad Gita, you're not teaching to others, you're teaching to yourself. So constantly teaching to yourself, it will become your own nature. Whether other people see it or not, whether other people get benefit or not, you will be benefited by that, by making it your own nature. And therefore, he said, you will be the dearest to me. We have learned what is dearest. One who identifies the most is the dearest. Once my nature becomes one with that ideal, I become the ideal. So Bhagavan said, therefore, such a person is very dear to me. In other words, our rishis have formulated a system by which it is your duty as a student that once you learn the knowledge, you can't keep it to yourself. You have to give it to others. Not only for the benefit of the others and the culture, but for your own good too. And that's the method which is the most effective versus a forced conversion or somebody who is not even ready to understand this to tell him what is right or wrong. With that, I'll stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhave. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. హరి ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః హరి ఓం.